Well, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Miss Marsha Johnson felt in her spirit that she had something she wanted to share concerning the family, and she's just going to come and share for a few moments. And so let's give a listen.
Good morning. I just wanted to share something I learned from Dad Hagen. He really emphasized and he taught us about Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through, you go even into chapter 2, verse 1, and then skip down to 4 through 6. But, you know, it really talks about, it's a prayer for us to pray, for us to have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in God, but not just to pray it for us, but pray it for our family, for our nation, for everyone. And it's important that we do it daily. And, you know, and he really emphasized that in these scriptures, because like in chapter 1, verse 21, it says that we are far above all principalities, powers, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is come. And all things were put under his feet, Jesus' feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. And chapter 2, verse 1, and you, meaning us, has he quickened when we were dead in trespasses and sins. But verse 4 goes on to say, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ, and by grace we are saved. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And what Dad Hagen taught us was we need to realize who we are in Jesus Christ, and we need to pray from that seated position in Christ Jesus and know that we have authority over all the powers and principalities and powers and all the works of the enemy. But you know, the devil, he wants to come and bring condemnation. No, we've been saved. Our sins have been white as snow, washed away by the blood of Jesus. God doesn't remember our sins anymore. So we need to pray every day of our lives from that seated position and kick the devil and tell him, get out in the name of Jesus. Get out of my family. Get out of my nation. Get out. We have this election coming up. We should be praying all the more from this seated position. And we should pray and say, Father, I stand in my place of authority. And this is how I say it. I say, Father, I pray for my position in the state of Florida, in Fort Myers Shores where I live, and in Immokalee, Florida where I go to church. I take my authority and I say, devil, get out. You're not affecting our free elections in the name of Jesus. And I plead the blood of Jesus over every precinct, especially my precinct. I can't pray over yours or yours out there. You pray, you take authority and say, devil, you will not have your way in our free elections. You're not going to have your way in my precinct. You're not going to have your way over the poll workers. You're not having your way over the voting machines. You're not having your way over mail-in ballots or how everybody wants to vote, and that the body of Christ and people are going to vote according to the word of God, not according to the world, the flesh, the devil. No, they're voting, and we bind every principality and power, and you're not influencing this election. You're not influencing the people as they go to the precincts. They are covered in the blood of Jesus, and they're going to vote according to the word of God, not according to party, but we're going to vote according to the word of God. So I encourage you, as Brother Hagen taught us and encouraged us, take your seat daily in the heavenly places. Pray, Take your authority and don't get out of that place. And when the devil tries to come with condemnation, say, no, I'm covered in the blood. Be quick to repent and know you are covered in the blood of Jesus and go with God.
Yeah, let's do that.
Ooh, let's do that. Hallelujah. Yes, please. Yeah, that's you. That's your name. That's when I say Harry, what do you think of? But my goodness. What else is there? Hallelujah. Congratulations. Congrats to, well, I'd like to say David and his beautiful wife, but I guess they were here and now they're gone. But the closest would be Homer and Rosie. David got, our little David got married this week. Isn't that great? What a good kid and beautiful wife. And so, hallelujah. We just praise the Lord and thank God. We'll congratulate them when they, you know, they were here for a bit and they had to leave. But we worship you, Jesus. What an awesome exhortation. We love you, Jesus. I'm looking through the camera to tell you how much Jesus loves you and how that exhortation was given, directed by God for the purpose of what he wants to say to you for the next couple of moments. Because I heard in my spirit as she was saying what she was saying by God concerning the condemnation. And the Lord began to speak to me, and he said, there are so many that are under the bondage of condemnation and shame. And as a result of it, the enemy does his greatest works. Begins to tell people they're no longer worthy to call on him, no longer he won't listen to them, or they deserve what they get. It's not true. The blood of Jesus is still on the mercy seat.
Hallelujah.
How good is our God. David crossed the Kidron Brook, heading up the Mount of Olives, barefoot. Older now, the aged David. With a small processional of women and children and a handful of palace guards to protect him. His armies were divided. Those who stood for him were in the field, preparing for battle against an army that was coming up to take Jerusalem. His advisors told him, they're so close to Jerusalem, they'll get in before you can able to escape. Now's the best time. Your only window of escape is now. So with just a handful following him, he began to escape. But this wasn't a foreign power. It wasn't a legion that was coming from some faraway place. It was his own blood, his own son, that was betraying him and then swept in legions of army advisors, people that would stand with him in the revolt. It was a coup. It had taken years to put together. It was a mastermind by Satan. And Absalom had weaved his spell over the people and manipulated them so long that it looked like it was inevitable. It was so strong that David had to flee for his life. He couldn't stand. As his army approached Jerusalem and David fled, David went up the mount barefoot, weeping, the word says. That's where Psalms 3 was birthed. Some say he wrote that right after his descent. That psalm that we often sing. The thousands of demons, we say. But David said, though 10,000 may encamp against me. But what broke his heart was that it was his son and Ahithophel, I don't know that that's the correct way to say it, Ahithophel, his right-hand man, his commandant, his person who would he would share things with, had leagued with Absalom. And this wasn't a small thing. In the battle that ensued just within the week that would take place, tens of thousands of Israelis died, and they were all Israelis. They were all in a massive meet on the battlefield where David's men that stood with him and Absalom's men that stood with him met together. A great, great battle. Thousands and thousands died. But as David ascended up the mount, weeping, old David now, not the giant slayer, not the one that was young and handsome, well-built, that entered into Jerusalem the day after he slew Goliath and they were singing his songs and all the people loved him. Now, with his head covered, weeping. What was he weeping? He wasn't weeping that Jerusalem was being lost, that his army was divided, the nation was divided. Some were with Absalom, some were with David. But he cried out in his spirit. He also wrote another portion of Psalm right around this same time. And he said, "Oh God, take not your Holy Spirit from me. But I have sinned." He knew he had sinned. The sin was that he had murdered another man and taken his wife in an act of adultery. And that was years earlier. And even years earlier that he wrote that psalm, because it was right after Nathan, the prophet, identified him as the man. But he cried out. But here's where the Holy Spirit connected that with this, with what she was saying and what I heard in my spirit. You've got to know this, that he's as he walks up that Mount of Olives, crying and weeping, that with every step, and as he's leaving Jerusalem and the little children that are part of the palace are with him, and they're bringing up the Ark of the Covenant behind him, he turns to them later and says, "No, take the ark back where it was supposed to be in the temple." But what David is fighting, can you imagine this? This is what I saw. That Satan took the moment. You know, he'll take a moment of your temporary failure. David, if he could have had it back, he'd have taken that moment back with Bathsheba. If he could have turned back the clock, He'd have said no. But there was no turning back the clock. But he could go forward with God. And with every step, what rang in his ear was this: you deserve this. Satan whispering with 1,000 devils, not whispering, but echoing with an atmosphere around him: you deserve this. Nathan's words rang in his ear: because you've done this, David, the sword will never depart from your house. Satan was, see, this is it. God didn't hear your prayer of asking for forgiveness. There's no turning back. And what was on him was not only the betrayal, but the shame. And this is where Satan comes in like a flood against the body of Christ. He'll destroy your confidence with God and destroy, even after something's been forgiven. Somebody said, well, yeah, Nathan prophesied it and it was going to come to pass. He couldn't. He just said what was going to happen. Do you know the moment David said, Lord, forgive me, he was forgiven. He was absolutely forgiven. And if there was any way for God to even have stopped even the rebellion, he would have stopped it. Here, listen, I got news for you. You already know this. But we live in a better covenant. Amen. A better covenant. David was not handed the keys of the kingdom, because that kingdom was to come. We've been handed the keys to the kingdom. So whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatsoever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Now, if we do make a mistake, and if we do fall to sin, we not only can immediately come under the blood. Somebody said, well, you set into effect. Sure, sometimes things are set into effect. But you can step up now because of the keys of the kingdom and say, what they couldn't do then, I can do now. I not only am forgiven, I begin right now to break, to bind anything that Satan says, you've got to go through this as a result of what you started. David was walking, and of course he was hearing, if you hadn't committed adultery, this wouldn't have happened. If you hadn't have killed another man, this wouldn't have happened. You deserve this. How many of you ever heard him say, you deserve this? Not God. In fact, the reason or the way that you open blind eyes, it's not your righteousness. And I'm not saying you can go out and do whatever you want to. But on your best day, on your squeakiest day, after you've done a 40-dayer and cried in worship and thought, man, I'm so close to God today. It's not you. It's not your righteousness that'll get them healed. I want to look through the camera for just a moment, because what has been said prophetically to somebody out there or somebody in here. Don't let Satan rob a moment more, one more moment of your time. Under any shame, any guilt, or any thought of, I deserve what I'm getting. You've been born again. And if you did make a mistake, You've been forgiven. And if you've been forgiven, then you get a chance to turn right around and say, wait a minute, I just stop all of hell from anything that was set in motion. I just stop it right now. I've been given the keys to the kingdom. And I'm going to square my shoulders up. And when I come into the house of God, or when I watch, I'm going to know that I'm just as righteous as anybody in the church. Hallelujah. I got just as much right to stand up as anybody in the church, raise my hands and declare Jesus is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're watching this morning and you haven't been born again, or if you're in here that you haven't been born again, I'm going to pray a prayer. I just want you to pray it with me. All of us are going to pray it together. Just to receive Jesus. We don't have any membership around here. Somebody said, I'm part of that church. Wonderful, you're part if you come. I don't ask for your money. I give you opportunity. If you don't want to, if you can't. It's not about money. It's not about membership. It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're watching and you're in here and you don't know Jesus, pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me in your blood. I receive you now, Jesus. Now let's all pray this prayer together, and I'm praying it for everyone watching and everyone here. Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
your blood
is all I need.
Shame,
guilt,
condemnation has been washed away. I deserve what I get. And that's you, Jesus. All the curse has been broken. Anything ever started by sin or the flesh is broken off of me through your shed blood. I receive it, Jesus. And I say to you, Satan, go back to hell where you're from, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Feels good. Harry. He was here at 6, but of course he had to leave at 5 or 4:30. No, not 4:30. 5:30, whatever. I guess it's 20 minutes instead of 30. But he had to get up. Did you disturb your beautiful wife? And no. Okay. Hallelujah. Before you leave and before you're gone, let's just pray over the offering this morning. Thank you for all of you that support this ministry and believe in it enough to hear from God to give your portion. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, you're not only their supplier, and that's my prayers weekly, that you first come to them, not just so that they can supply, but they really have all that they need according to your riches and glory. That the grace of God is multiplied to them exceedingly, that they go lacking for nothing in a time and a season that's very challenging throughout the world. But now I pray that you'll graduate that from that grace on them to that grace through them, that they will truly be sensitive, all of us, to our call for ministry in giving. Touch our hearts, our lives. Help us not to be forgetful, but generous in all ways. I bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you have something as we worship just through one song, would you prepare it? And if you have a need an offering envelope, there should be one in front of you in one of the seats. Just make it out the Family Prayer Center. Hallelujah. Can you believe the days are, today's the first day of autumn. When you walk out, you're going to feel such an autumn breeze out there. Hallelujah. I say so in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Please, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and prepare your gift. Let's just worship the Lord. We exalt you, Jesus. Lead us, Harry. Worship you, Jesus. Just stand and worship Him.
Other like you, Jesus. There's no other like you. There's no other like you. Other like you, there's no holy Jesus like Jesus. Lord, you are holy.
Worship you, Jesus.
Other like you, there's no other like you, there's no other like you, there's no other like you.
Hallelujah. Well, we'll dismiss in just a moment. We'll give you some music to exit by and bring your gift if you have one. No church tonight. People need a nap. And we love you all. Thank you so much. Thank you for your gifts, your giving. And remembering the house of God. So bring it forward if you have something. Online, give it now. And we will see you Wednesday night. God bless you all. Amen.